Disrespect welcomes David Blazek, certified financial planner and advisor with Life Trust Financial Planning. David's going to talk to us about how people with disabilities can free up money and receive more money for income security in the future. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
For me, it's easy to be skeptical when you talk about freeing up money on an income of $1,000 a month, or if you're on OW and disabled, $570 a month. How can somebody on that kind of income actually get more money that if they can manage to live on that income, they can use to enhance their income security?
Well, it's a question I've often asked, and unfortunately people don't realize that although they may be claiming benefits through proper tax planning, there's an oversight in a very critical area, and that's called the disability non-refundable tax credit.
Okay. And that's federal?
That's a federal benefit.
All right.
Now, although it's often claimed, the failure to recognize one has to pay tax in order to receive a tangible benefit.
Yeah, okay. Or owe tax, yeah.
And sadly, what's overlooked is the support of a family
member
that can take advantage of this credit.
I understand if you file a tax return and you apply for a credit, you can take advantage of it if you owe income tax. How can your family take advantage of it?
By transferring the person with the disability to a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And
that doesn't entail any loss of freedom or any restriction on choices of the person with the disability.
Not at all.
Okay.
Matter of fact, it enhances the likelihood of that party, the disabled party, receiving a substantial benefit. It's predicated on the ability to pay tax, and a non-refundable tax benefit is a reimbursement of taxes paid. Thus, there's a pretty broad spectrum of family members who can claim on your behalf.
Oh, who?
Well, we can start from mother, dad, and then siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go as far as field as a niece.
Mm-hmm.
And just last week, it was known to me that a stepson, because of his relationship, is also entitled to claim.
All right.
Now, tangibly, what does this mean? It means approximately $1,600 a year.
Okay.
In tax savings.
Tax savings. So this isn't the credit against income. This is the actual savings in the tax paid. Okay.
Right to the bottom line.
All right.
And again, I must make this point, a very key one, is as each year rolls over, we're on a rolling 10-year eligibility. So, for instance, the failure to claim...
Backdating.
Yep, in eligibility, we can backdate 10 years...
Right.
...if the eligibility has been missed.
Okay.
But I want to underscore that this disability tax certificate, we will lose that $1,600 for 1999, as we roll over.
Yeah. Okay.
Come January of this year.
Okay.
So it's critical that the disability tax credit is
implemented as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what's involved in qualifying for the disability tax credit and splitting it? You have to be in some way assisted by the family member, don't you, to split the income with them?
That's correct. Good point.
And can you create that kind of relationship with a family member if you need to?
Going forward, if there hasn't been an established pattern in the past based on three areas, Canadian Revenue Agency consider necessities of life.
Oh, okay.
They are, one, shelter,
right,
food, and clothing.
So if you need assistance with one of those.
That's correct.
All right. Okay. Is there a low limit on the assistance?
Yeah, there has to be some, although no receipts are required, there has to be some legitimized care in providing these necessities for their loved one.
So someone would look for a substantial gift or some kind of recurring amount, however low.
Well, if we can just zero in on shelter, for instance.
Yeah.
If I may, often it's come to my attention that there's a revelation of repairs done to home or residence.
Oh yeah, okay.
In addition, there may be a hydro bill that's paid.
Yeah.
Property taxes.
Yeah.
Those would be some instances.
So any help with those is support.
And one would validate the Canadian Revenue Agency's necessities of life parameters.
Okay, good. Good. So if you receive any of that kind of help, you can go ahead with this.
Now, to answer your question, well, how do you jumpstart this? Forms can be mailed, downloaded, or sourced in Hamilton here at the Bay Street office of the Canadian Revenue Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And the technical word for the form is called the T. That's T as in Tom, 2201.
Okay.
After it's secured, then one has to formalize a meeting with your physician, who then has to fill out a medical history.
And he has to be aware that to meet the tax credit, you have to show some limits. Some severe limits in carrying out what CCRA defines as the necessities of daily living. And it's my understanding, too, that while the requirements taken in isolation, each one seems very severe, I think you can also qualify on the basis of the sum of the impact on the necessities of daily living. So if you have a small impact on each of the necessities or most of the necessities of daily living, you can argue that the sum is a substantial impact on the necessities of daily living.
That's correct. It's called an accumulative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if the form's intimidating, you look at it and you say, my God, I'm not lying in the bed staring at the ceiling. Maybe some mornings you are and having a hard time getting up. Maybe some days that same condition gives you difficulty preparing meals. It gives you difficulty tying your shoes. It gives you a difficulty getting up and walking around. And the sum of it adds up. Even though it isn't constant, the sum of it adds up to a substantial impairment to meet your own needs of daily living and would qualify you for the disability tax credit. Yeah.
And in my experience is people often minimize, you know, their degree of pain or how their disability affects their lifestyle, and I want to impress on them that
no points for minimization.
No, we want the worst case.
Yeah,
that's you know, to facilitate an honest appraisal.
Okay,
and base it on that worst day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, sometimes this has to be discussed with your family physician because they don't often see you on your worst day.
No, you're probably inside on your worst day.
That's right.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I would argue strongly too that it's an interactive effort, that you can't just hand the form to the family physician and count on him to get you your disability tax credit. He may have no idea what it's about. If he does have an idea what it's about, he may not think subconsciously. He may not think you deserve it. He may not have the time to consider how you get it. You got to talk about what's required to get it, what he can validate, and if the case comes up, what he cannot, and still proceed towards getting this benefit. Don't hand a blank form to your physician. You probably didn't get your ODSP that way. You know? So yeah, don't expect to get your disability tax credit that way. It's my experience. expect, though, even though it may be granted the first year, they may come back in 2 years and say, you know, clarify this for us. And, you know, you could be, your credit could be voided and you could have to pay it back, you know, sort of thing. And if you validate it the same way you got it, it's no problem. It's just the way the federal government works when it comes to taxes.
Yeah, it's you that dialogue with your physician, and it's often not understood by the physician the intrinsic benefit. It's so far reaching, and it wasn't until last week I had an opportunity to meet with some physicians, whereby I outlined the bigger picture.
Yeah,
and they had no idea that by, in the case of waiving their $25, $50 fee.
Mm-hmm. For a letter.
For a letter.
Or a form.
That it was such a huge impact in people's lives.
Yeah.
So it has to be underscored sometimes, and that's just through dialogue and interaction and,
mm-hmm.
you know, being empowered with information, and that is true with those that are, you know, with disabilities and our physicians as well.
Yeah, so you've applied for your disability tax credit. The government's grudgingly given it to you. They've also sent you a check for 9 years, 10 years back?
10 years.
10 years back. So what kind of check are you staring at if your tax permits the maximum deduction?
My average claim is in the 14,000 range.
And it's not income for benefits purposes. It's a tax refund.
That's correct.
So it's yours to spend as you wish. How do you propose we spend it?
Well, a happy recourse now is not only the Registered Disability Savings Plan, but there is the tax-favored savings plan as well,
mm-hmm.
that's in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
But the Registered Disability Savings Plan is a tremendous vehicle for those that have disabilities.
Now, there's an age at which that plan has to pay out, isn't there?
Well, as with most pension plans, there's a finite date for the disbursement of the money. In the year one turns 59, there's a realized pension at that point. But up until that point,
mm-hmm.
beneficiaries are able to
contribute. Yeah.
And in turn, depending on income thresholds, receive sources of monies from the government.
I understand those stop like 10 years before 59, that the government will chip in until you're like 49, and then they won't after that.
There's a 20-year contribution to maximize the grants of $1,000.
A year?
A year.
Okay.
And the personal contribution amounts are limited to $3,500 in government contributions. So, may I give you an example?
Yeah, yeah.
So we have a gentleman who's 29.
Mm-hmm.
And when one looks at eligibility for government grants, depending on income thresholds,
yeah.
20 years plus 29 is 49.
Right.
During that period of time, in addition to the government grants,
right.
you have maximum matching of your contributions up to $3,500 a year.
But you get the grants whether you contribute or not.
Correct, depending on family income.
Right.
And there are thresholds of approximately $20,000, $40,000, and $75,000.
Okay.
And depending on the grant alone, there are clawbacks.
Okay.
But from a contribution and matching.
Oh, there's matching funds as well as grants. Oh, and they're like 100% matching?
Up to three times on the first 500 and two times on monies over $500.
So if you could put aside, say, 50 bucks a month, except for December when you might want the money for Christmas shopping, I'm just brainstorming with this, and maybe January when you got your check 7 weeks before the next one. So 10 months, 50 bucks, 500 bucks, and you get $1,500 from the government, and then you get a grant of $1,000.
Correct.
Pretty nice.
If family income is below that $20,000 to $22,000 threshold.
And family meaning your personal family, you and your wife and your kids, whatever.
Yeah, so this gentleman I mentioned earlier is age 29, but let's say he's 18.
Yeah.
It would be then based on his income.
Right.
And we're well aware that those are on ODSP are making below the 20,000 threshold.
Right.
So this 18-year-old would be, in opening of an account, would get a direct deposit in the form of a bond of $1,000. He hasn't made any contribution.
Okay.
Using your example, he's now putting in $50 a month.
Yeah.
Which will allow him matching of $3 from the government for every dollar he contributes.
Right.
Yeah. That's $1,500 on his $5,000.
So the government's throwing in $150 every month. He throws in $50. Yeah. Plus the bond that he gets to open it up.
Pretty exciting. All told, with his contributions, we're looking at $6,000 a year.
He puts in $500, and then the government puts in $1,000, and the government puts in $1,500. So that's $2,500 and $500 is $3,000. How do you get $6,000 out of this?
Well, if I may use your example of $50 a month for 10 months is a $500 contribution on your part.
Yeah.
Now, in a three-step process, let's just go back one step. The first step being, under a $22,000 threshold, there's an automatic bond of $1,000.
Okay.
Without making any contributions.
All right.
Now, jump ahead. You're making a $500 contribution.
Yeah.
$50 a month times 10.
Mm-hmm.
$500. The government will match $3 for every one.
Mm-hmm.
So another $1,500 will be deposited in that account. Now, in total now, we have a $1,000 bond plus your contribution of $500.
Yeah.
Plus a government matching of $1,500.
Okay. So you got $3,000 in it already.
Correct. Now, we want to maximize the $3,500 a year matching.
Okay.
So far, we've only matched $1,500.
Yeah.
The government will match $3,500.
Yeah.
In order to do that, you put in your initial $500. Anybody can contribute and top up another $1,000.
Right.
You, family, friends.
Yeah.
The government will match another $2,000, 2 to 1.
Okay.
Now we're maximizing their matching contribution total of $3,500. So in all toll,
you've got your original $3,000, and then you've got your $1,000 contribution, which takes you up to $4,000, and then you've got the 2-for-1 matching of that $1,000 contribution, which takes you up to $4,000, $2,000, $6,000. Yeah, total.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
This is aside from any dividend interest or capital gain income, which is all tax deferred.
And hopefully ODSP isn't jealous of you having this money set aside because the Act approves of it. Now, when it comes time to get this money out, who gets it?
There's a 10-year window.
Yep.
So there can't be any encroachment of funds for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a structured settlement or pension plan at that point. We won't go into detail the computation.
Okay.
But it's based on age and mortality.
Okay.
From that point.
Okay.
The key here is the 10-year, call it a locking in provision.
Okay.
And that will allow then you to take advantage of the buildup of the grants and the matching.
Okay.
Otherwise, there's going to be clawbacks.
Yeah, okay. Good. Well, sounds like a step towards income security that you can't argue with. If you can come up with that $50, maybe a family member, maybe a family member to chip in that other $1,000. Or two of them, or five of them. You got a lot of brothers and sisters who like you. Okay. All right.
More information can be found. The institutions are coming on board. Their regulations took a while. The federal regs too. And then, of course, the institutions have to rev up their programs.
Yeah, there were three banks offered this plan when it was launched, maybe more by now. Okay.
So one can source specialists at each of these institutions, and if you're welcome to call me if there's any further questions, too.
What's your number?
905-523-4698.
905-523-4698. Can they reach you by email?
Correct. Lowercase, full first name and last name, David Blasick, B-L-A-S-C as in Charlie, I-K, at kojiko.ca.
David Blasick at kojiko.ca. Okay. Well, there's some answers for people who thought they didn't have any, and some money for people who thought they didn't have any. Maybe you still don't, but if you can find $50 a month, or you can find someone else to throw some money into this, it sounds like, for the younger listeners with disability, it sounds like a good deal. Thanks for coming in, David.
Not at all. Thank you.